When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's episode of a Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler and I am joined by Andy Harrow.
Hello.
And Mr. Craig Telfer.
Yo, 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 yo.
Interesting. Interesting choice of introduction there, Telfer.
I think the problem is if you keep saying hello all the time, then people just get bored. So you need to think in new and exciting ways to try and pop people in. We'll gauge the reaction. If you like that intro, leave it in the comments saying yes. If you didn't like it, leave it no, and we'll try. We'll aim for something better next time.
If you didn't like it, say no, 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 no.
So yes, the terrible trio is here once again to fill in for Sean and Telfer's usual excellent lower league output. Myself and Andy, like last time, 2 weeks ago, we'll try and make up half a Sean.
Exactly, it shows how vital Sean McGuigan is that we need two people to come in to try and replace him. It's like that, you know, N'Golo Kante. You see, who do you play in midfield? N'Golo, I can't remember what he said. It was like basically a joke about, oh, it's rubbish. Forget it. Can you get that bit out? No, you can't. It's the bit about, you know, he says like two people. That's it. You play such and such in the middle, and N'Golo Kante either side of him. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we talking about today then?
I was actually thinking while you were like just to big up Sean for a change. I usually slag him off about being very old, but I very much enjoyed the podcast that you did with him about the Wraith Rovers, and it was just like listening to
it. It was good, wasn't it? It was really good.
I know that Sean was able to do this because he must have taken, like, his notes at the best of times are like War and Peace. So I know that it must have been something similar, but just when he was like going through it all, it like bringing up like what people, like what managers were saying before games and stuff like that. I was like,
you actually, that's a surprise. We actually agreed that on that morning. That's what we're going to talk about. We had something else planned. And then I think we're just going to look at other games. I said, no, let's go and do something else. And he was like, fine. So we did, we're going to do Wraith Rovers and Stenhouse Muir, but I think we made the right choice that Wraith Rovers would be far more interesting to talk about. But no, it was great. It was great listening. I really enjoyed listening to him.
Yeah, so Sean has left us in the lurch once again, but we've got Andy here. Andy's good.
Seen some low-level football. So good might be too strong a word there, but a present is probably a more accurate one, to be honest.
Well, exactly. You're certainly better than Sean this week because he's not here at all. So there you go. There's a compliment for you.
Thanks.
How are you getting on yourself anyway, Andy?
I'm all right. I was actually wiped out this week. I had a stomach bug, so I'm kind of feeling normal now, but it's taken me all week to not feel absolutely dreadful. But I tell you what was a tonic, watching Arbroath Partick Thistle's 4.5 minute
You know, Andy, you know what it reminded me of? You ever seen that scene in Taken 3 where Liam Neeson jumps over a fence and there's like about 15 cuts in the space of a 7 second sequence? That's what this felt like. It was like, honestly, there was just so much going on, and I had absolutely no room to breathe.
Yeah, it's like every Transformers film action scene that's ever happened.
That's exactly what it was like. Yeah.
I genuinely, I watched it in the bathroom and I burst out laughing in the bathroom. So if anyone walking past must have wondered what that was doing, but
Andy, I watched this game. I watched this game at my desk. Why did you watch it in your bathroom?
Because when you've got a 2-year-old, you have to find any possible moment make use of the time. So it tends to be my quiet place at the moment.
I was going to say, I saw that recently, that basically toilets are a haven for parents, really, aren't they?
They really are. I've been doing that from work for, you know, ever since I've got into full-time employment. But it's 5 to 10 minutes where you can lock the door and you don't get any bother. Or you might, like my daughter will sometimes bang on the door and shout for me, but as long as I've locked the door, she can't get in and I can watch lower league highlights in peace.
Does Kate wonder why you now take 10 shits a day?
depends how many highlights I've got to watch, I suppose.
You didn't really have a stomach bug. You just wanted to see the highlights for these three games that we're going to cover.
Yeah, pretty much. Although I have to say, at least I could find the Arbroath Thistle highlights. The other two were significantly more difficult.
I think that's fair to say. This podcast, I think, for the listeners at home, this is problematic for us to put together. You had one set of highlights that were so quickly cut together it was almost impossible to comprehend. A second set of highlights that were completely doused in fog that you couldn't make out what was going on. And a third set of highlights that were just impossible to find on the internet. So we have really gone above and beyond the call of duty to bring this show together.
It was the highlights for the... for the Peterhead game, because I could only find the full game on iScreen. I was like, I'm not watching all this.
No, there's a,
I don't watch it.
Graham mentioned it. It's on the SPFL like roundup, which is good actually. The lower league roundup, then it just shows all the goals. That's all I could find, to be honest. So
no, I went onto Airdrie's website to watch them, and my favourite moment of that was when Airdrie scored their third goal. The Pixelot camera decided to move in the opposite direction of where the action was going. So thank you very much.
The best bit was that. And I don't know on that game yet, but the best bit was that I think Airdrie said the Pixel camera missed their third goal, but luckily Peterhead's camera was filming it. And there's like a tweet with just the video of it, and it's just doused in fog. You cannot see anything. In fact, the Pixel camera that's moved away from the action actually shows you more
Is it worth Fowler talking about the three games? Just, I mean, we've been talking for about 15 minutes now. We've been talking about people on holidays. We've been talking about cousins on Instagram. What are we actually going to be talking about today?
Well, we'll get to the three games that we're going to cover after this. The return of football is always worth celebrating, and Beer 52 are generously offering free beer while you watch your team from the comfort of your own home. Or if you just want a few to get you in the mood before you head down to the local ground, as we're now allowed back at the stadiums again. Yes! They're offering 8 craft beers sourced and created from the best breweries on the planet for free. All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/terrace and just cover the $5.95 for postage. Beer 52 is the world's most popular craft beer discovery club, with over 150,000 members that they send a brand new case to each and every month. Every month's case has a different theme. Past themes have included beer from New Zealand, South Africa, Korea, all over the US and Europe. If dark beer is not your thing, you can simply choose the light option, and your case will come with an award-winning beer magazine Ferment and a tasty snack. Don't worry though, if you change your mind, you can pause or cancel your account at any time. Just go to beer52.com /terrace to get your first case of 8 beers for $5.95. That's beer52.com/terrace. Right, let's begin with the first game, which comes in the Championship, where Arbroath defeated Partick Thistle 3-1 at Gayfield, despite Thistle taking the lead and also being, I think, fairly comfortable for large parts of the first half. The game changed on a couple of errors, shall we say, from somebody that last time we were talking I was bigging up, which was Harry Stone, who is the Hearts goalkeeper, very highly rated, kind of expected to one day take over the gloves from Craig Gordon. And I think it's fair to say, Telfer, that we might be waiting a wee bit longer for that. There might need to be a stopgap between Harry Stone and Craig Gordon if Saturday was anything to go by.
Do you know something? I think maybe. I think because Harry Stone had gone on loan. I think he'd been on loan at Spartans. He'd gone on loan at Stirling Albion. He'd been on loan at Albion Rovers last season. And I think during the second half of last season at Rovers, he was really impressive. And Brian Reid, his manager, was very complimentary about him. And obviously he got the contract at Hearts. He was featured in the Hearts documentary. But this was a personal hell for him, because he certainly was culpable for Michael McKenna's goal, the goal that brought the game level, and he was 100% at fault for Nicky Lowe's goal that ultimately put the game beyond Partick Thistle. I mean, the first one, as you said there, Fowler, I think that Thistle were perhaps the better of the two sides in the first half. They'd taken the goal, taken the lead through a Colin Hamilton own goal. And just as you're going into, you've got a one goal lead at the interval, you think that's quite a handy score to take in here. And then Michael McKenna hits a free kick, and it didn't really seem to be hit with much pace or much direction, but it seemed to just sneak in off his gloves and kiss the post as it went in. That was bad. You could, there's maybe an argument that it wasn't his fault, but Nicky Lowe's goal, the third one, calculably his fault, because it was just that he gets the ball back to him and then passes it straight to Nicky Lowe. And it's a good finish. I mean, Nicky Lowe's a really good finish for him. But, I mean, he should never have been in that position in the first place. But it sounds trite to say, you know, you probably won't make those mistakes again. Those are the sort of things that next time he's got the ball at his feet and he's passing out of defence, you will 100% sure that it finds its target. Because those were grievous errors. I think that Arbroath probably deserved to win the game on the whole. But I think, Stone's performance wasn't the best here.
I'd be interested to see if he keeps his place, though, because he's only been in a couple of weeks, hasn't he? Snedden was in not that long ago. So it'd be interesting to see whether or not there's a chopping and a changing, or that made that sound like that was the start of some sort of country and western song there, a chopping and a changing. do you end up, because keepers do make mistakes, especially young keepers, do you end up keep switching them about all the time? I think he's maybe got enough in the bank from the last couple of weeks that he stays in, you'd think, for another week or two and see how he gets on. But yeah, for me, it was as much as Stone was poor, there was three Arbroath players, and we've touched on a couple of them, that I thought looked excellent. And I think from sort of the fans that were there, they were all of the same opinion. And that Nicky Lowe was great. Michael McKenna, you know, the two guys that scored the goals were excellent. And I thought John Newbill, and it's the first time I've really seen... Joe, is it Joe?
Yes.
The first time I've seen him, I thought he looked excellent. And I know you're really only going with highlights, but there was a couple of moments that I just thought he just looked like a real handful for defenders.
It reminded me of the scene in Jack where Robin Williams is playing basketball. I mean, Robin Williams got the body of a 40-year-old but the mind of a 10-year-old, and he's playing basketball with these kids and he's absolutely shagging them, but not literally, but just on the basketball court. And that's what it was like watching Joel Newbley play there, where there was times where people were bouncing off him. There was one bit, I think it was in the second half, where he beat a guy, or he held someone off and played a pass. He flicked it for James Cragan, and I mean, it was actually forced a really good save from Stone, but you just think, my goodness, that's like just the strength and the ability. I mean, if you can marry that strength and that pace, that's a very like sort of Livingston sort of signing. So I think it's a year in the Championship, toughen him up. He looks quite good so far. Bring him back. It's that'll be an interesting signing for Dave Martial. But yeah, very, very impressed by what I saw from him.
And it was the second goal that he created down the left hand side. I think he beat a couple of men and then he put a really good ball into the box for McKenna. But you're right, it was that particular bit of play that it really stood out, because he received the ball with his back to goal in the penalty box, held off one of the defenders, but there was another couple of Thistle players closing in on him, and he kind of managed to somehow pirouette. Really good close control, and then had the presence of mind to lift it over the defender who'd been holding him off into Craigan's path. I thought he gives something to Arbroath that I've not seen him have before.
You know, you're absolutely right there, Andy. I think that's something that Arbroath, I wouldn't say struggled isn't the word, because Arbroath have generally done well, but you know, I always think they've never really had like an orthodox number nine. I think a lot of the guys that have played not centre forward, but the guys that have played the more attacking positions, like Michael McKenna, he's not really a striker. You know, he's more like a sort of, like you describe him as a forward rather than a striker. Luke Donnelly, for instance, you know, I think some people might see him as a target man because he's a big beanpole sort of player, but he's not really a striker. You think he's been more like an attacking midfielder, but whereas Nubly, he is a number nine. You know, he is the target man that you can get the balls into feet, and then you can get the guys like McKenna, like James Craigan, like Nicky Lowe, those sort of forward thinking midfielders, you can get them pushing up and supporting with him, and as we saw, it really paid dividends against Thistle on Saturday.
This kind of also goes with the point that Sean kind of makes quite a lot when he talks about Dick Campbell's Arbroath team, in terms of that kind of sometimes missing that kind of that presence up front or somebody to score the goals that's going to kind of keep them away from trouble. They managed to do it with Craig Whiten a couple of years ago, done it last season with Jack Hamilton, and while it's early days, it looks like they've maybe done the same with Joe Newbill.
Yeah, that's just what you just basically just backed up my point that I made there. Thank you.
I just named different players.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, fellow. You've been paying attention to the likes of Jack Hamilton. And all. In fact, no, I say Hamilton was on. Hamilton was obviously an orthodox forward. But I think it's quite an interesting tactic in that, in terms of like loan signings, where you basically, you can build a squad of like experienced guys. You've got a good spine in the team, and then you take people in on loan that can augment the team. So if you do that and you bring like strikers in on loan, you know, I think that's quite an interesting tactic from Campbell.
It was just to kind of drag it back to the conversation about Harry Stone. I watched Ian McCall's interview afterwards, and he kind of made a point that I don't know whether it was a wee bit old man shouted cloudy, but I thought he kind of had a point in that Harry Stone, usually if he's training at Hearts are probably getting him to kind of try and use his feet quite a lot and pass out for the back. And he said, he was like, this is Gayfield. This is Gayfield on a Saturday. This is proper football. Like, instead of doing that, just get your foot through it and knock it up the park.
And you know, I'd probably agree with him, because the conditions looked very wet at Gayfield. Mm. You know, it looked like sort of one of those sort of like old rough and tumble football matches. And whilst it's quite nice to get the ball into your midfielders and build from there, I think that he's probably right. It is a bit of horses for courses sometimes. It is just a case of just launching up the park. But yeah, but that's the thing. He'll learn from that. You know, it's like you where you might want to try and play progressive style of football, you'll learn that you can't do that all the time. There are places and weather conditions that don't suit that sort of stuff, and then you play differently.
It was quite the final. I chuckled a wee bit at the final line in that interview. So it was only a couple of minutes long. But the final question he was asked was, "Were you disappointed that your team didn't react to losing those goals?" And McCall's final line was, "Well, we scored a perfectly good goal, so we did respond." So that was something we did go through earlier, which was the Zach Rudden had the ball in the back of the net, which was given for, was it given for offside? It was given for a foul against Brian Graham, who was in a tussle with one of the Arbroath centre backs.
I, you know something, I think I thought they were both fouls. I thought they were like a combination of like fouls and offside. He could perhaps be a bit unlucky, but Ian McCall can say that I think we were unlucky, but no, I thought they were both fouls. It kind of felt as though that I think they were well beaten on the day. I would say I definitely think that.
Yeah, I don't think the Thistle fans were really kind of given any sort of kind of unlucky sob stories. They were just kind of pointing the finger at McCall, and particularly the team's defence. which I don't know what you think of it, Andy. I mean, I'm not entirely, you know, as familiar with a lot of these guys as you are, but to me, on paper, it doesn't look that great.
No, I mean, you've got, I guess you've got Ricky. They've done all right so far, I guess, is the first thing you say this season. They've been okay, but I guess they're found out at the weekend. You've got Ricky Foster, who at this point in time, I mean, he's fine, I guess, fullback-wise. I think Mayo and Holt are still a wee bit untested. I think the comments when we were after the Dunfermline game were very much that they were all right, but because Thistle had gone ahead so early, they just had a lot. All the game was in front of them basically after that, and it was a case of heading things and putting them away, and there wasn't really the game wasn't stretched enough to test them. And I think Holt has obviously been a fullback in the past and is playing more centrally, and that relationship is probably still got a bit of working out to do. So, and then obviously you know, you've got Stone in behind, and you've switched keepers already this season. I think I listened to one of the Thistle podcasts, actually, Draw, Lose or Draw. I listened to a wee bit of that yesterday, and they were actually saying that the big issue yesterday or on Saturday was Ross Docherty not playing.
Yeah.
He was out injured, and where against Dunfermline, Docherty was in the middle and Kyle Turner was really effective in a wider position, coming in from out wide. Ross McKeever ended up taking in there, and Kyle Turner came into the middle. And while Turner and Bannigan were actually okay, was a kind of feeling in terms of how they played, it had a bit of an impact on the fact that there was really no one there winning the second balls, and they just didn't have that kind of effective shield supporting the defence. And I think obviously they had that the week before or against Dunfermline, and also partly because that's how the kind of game script had gone with it. But I think more than anything, the Thistle fans are going to seem to suggest that it was that lack of Docherty. And even though he's not a technically super gifted player, and he's certainly not as technically good as Turner and Bannigan, actually that he's just an important cog in that midfield, and he just offers something different from those guys. And not having him there was especially in that kind of boggy, horrible pitch for the lashing rain in the second half, it would have made a big difference.
Right, have we said all there is about this game? I'll take that as a yes. Right, let's move on.
No, I think so. I suppose one of the things that it just shows, like, I was looking through that Arbroath team, that's a really good group of players that they've got there at Arbroath, and there's quality, like, all over the team. There's depth. You know, the fact that they were able to bring on some of the changes they were able to make. There's loads of options there. I like the fact that Bobby Lynn comes off the bench. Anton Dowds has just signed on loan from Falkirk. I know that Dowds is raw, I think it's fair to say, but you've even got guys like Dale Hilson, Gavin Swanky, Luke Donnelly, who didn't come on. So there's a lot to like about Arbroath, and I know that they're like Dick Campbell in his post match interview said he's just like, I'm just happy to be in the division. I'm no thinking about the playoffs. Hey, I'm thinking about keeping this team in the league. And you know, that's that they're in fourth place. You know, and I think that he said that they should have beaten Ayr United, should have beaten at Cali Thistle on the opening day of the season. Maybe. You'll find out how good a side they are. I know Dunfermline have been in a bit of tailspin recently, but we'll find out how good they are. I mean, I suppose if they beat Dunfermline, then you'd probably be like, aye, this side are all right. I quite fancy them a wee bit.
Yeah, they're aye, fourth place. Campbell was saying that they're aiming to be, what was it, the first, I think he was alluded to the first part-time
yes.
team at this level to stay in the league for three straight years. So that'd be
that'd be amazing. I don't honestly. I 100% think that's entirely achievable for this Arbroath side. I'd be very, very surprised if this team were in any bother of relegation or in danger of finishing ninth place. It's a good group of players, and in terms of like part time teams at this level, it's certainly. I'm trying to think, maybe even better than Ian Murray's Dumbarton team on paper. I know the proof is in the pudding if they can finish fifth place or above, but on paper, that's as good a team as Ian Murray's side.
Dick Campbell as well, watching that interview, he he's obviously the type of manager that always kind of talks over the end of the question. Like when the guy's asking him, and he's just like,
you want to, I think like he just... He just couldn't be bothered with some of the questions. So do you think that was a good performance? I'm not here to talk about Partick Thistle. I'm here to talk about her, bro.
Right, so we've done enough talking about either team, so let's move on to the game from League One at the weekend. Telfer. This game, by the way, I should add, is Peterhead against Airdrie. Telfer, what did you put in the group chat on Saturday morning?
This game became a bit of a personal nightmare for me because I saw Tony Anderson. Just for Tony Anderson comes, hey guys, anyone do any good tips for betting? Anyone give me a wee sneaky line of the bookies? So I said, well, I saw on Twitter, Tony, that Airdrieonians are struggling to put a team out for this. So they're down to the bare bones. They've got like central midfielders filling in at centre back and so on. The whole team's been shunted around. My three words: lump on Peterhead. Imagine how appalled I was to check my phone at about 25 to 5 to find out that Airdrieonians were 3 goals up. I was appalled and embarrassed. And for anyone, well, to Tony, I should just say this, to anyone, specifically to Tony, I'm sorry. I thought I was doing the right thing. It turns out I wasn't. I'm embarrassed.
Yes, I think I'm right in saying I've got the list of Airdrie players that we're missing here. Correct me if any of these are wrong. Josh Kerr, Scott Walker, Jordan Allen, Craig Watson, Rico Katongo and Sam Wardrop were all out.
Could you do that in Norm MacDonald's voice?
Josh Kerr, Scott Walker, Rico Katongo is here. Or he's not here, as it would be. Was it in Peterhead?
Do you know, I was surprised at this. I mean, not so much because of how good a side Peterhead are, and I do think Peterhead are likely to be one of the teams that are going to try, like, 8th place I think would be quite a handy achievement for Peterhead. But just given how poor Airdrieonians their start to the season had been, you know, they'd lost heavily to Montrose, they'd lost to Falkirk, although that's no great shame because Falkirk have got a good shout to win the league, but they were 2 goals up against Dumbarton, then lost a man and ended up drawing 2 each. So you kind of really worried where's the win was going to come from, particularly with the players out missing. And then now the news that broke today that their game against Alloa Athletic's been postponed, the game that's going to take place on Saturday, because they've got players missing. So I thought it was all just a perfect storm that Peterhead were able to take full advantage of. But you've got to give Airdrie a lot of credit, and one player you've got to give a lot of credit to is Rhys McCabe, who was playing at centre back and ended up scoring 2 goals.
Yes, he played in the back four alongside Callum Ford-Dyce. It should be added, the 2 goals he scored were set pieces. The free kick was excellent, though. That was the opener.
Oh, do they not count? Do they not count because they're set pieces?
It's just like when it's just because he scored twice for set half. It's just I was filling in the details. I was filling in the details for the listener in case they were thinking he was just going on mazes for set half. Wasn't quite that, but he took an excellent free kick, tucked away his penalty well as well. The penalty, I think it was a penalty from...
You think?
Well, somebody in Pine Bovril said they weren't sure about it, but then I wanted to back. Yeah, definitely.
The penalty is, I mean, you've got to say, a huge credit goes to Adam Frizzell for slipping that pass in. Oh, was he Dylan Easton? Beg your pardon. It was Dylan Easton slipped the pass in, and it's Cammy Smith. It was Callum Smith that sort of sprints down the right, takes a touch just as Ryan Conroy slides in and wipes him out. And I think Conroy sort of puts his hand up to complain, sort of like just it's like an automatic gesture. But there was no chance that the referee was going to think otherwise. It was as stonewall a penalty as you're likely to see.
And the goal that we alluded to earlier, where Pixelot just randomly switches back to the halfway line just when the pass is being played through by Callum Gallagher, I think it was.
And yeah, it was.
It's Gabby McGill making a great run across to finish, but we don't see the finish because it just goes back to.
No.
And maybe they thought Rhys McCabe was onto a hat trick. It just goes back to Rhys McCabe standing at the halfway line celebrating.
You got to say it's a beautiful wee ball in from Callum Gallagher. Lovely little dod in, and the finish might have been good. I don't know. It still hit the back of the net. So that's all you can really say is a goal occurred thanks to Callum Gallagher's pass.
And then 2 goals got back kind of late on, and that kind of brings me to a couple of questions to ask about the hosts. So Scott Brown's goal, I think we have to say, first of all, absolutely sensational goal.
Andy, I think I've spoken for...
It was that good that everybody just had to speak in silence. We're still in awe.
Yeah, no, I know. It was a brilliant strike. Sort of a full volley, wasn't it? Coming off a corner. Yeah, it was. The only pity was that, again, it was so far away and it was so foggy. You kind of lost it a wee bit, but yeah, it was terrific.
He's such a good player, Scott Brown, as well. I think that he was linked. He was very close to signing with Falkirk, I think, about a year ago. And I don't know, it didn't happen for some reason, but I think that he's a Peterhead captain, and I think that he's definitely a player who's capable of certainly making the move to like lower championship, like top end, because he can carry the ball. He's really good at dribbling the ball. He reads the game well, and he's a useful passer of the ball. And as we saw, judging by that goal, he's got like bags of technique, because that's not an easy shot to make. You know, he sort of, it's a hooked volley, like the ball's at quite a height when he meets it, and it's a smashing goal, and he's definitely a really, really important player for Peterhead, so it was good to see him scoring.
And the final goal as well, Russell McLean's pretty much consolation one in injury time. That was a very well-worked goal as well. They kind of move it right down the right-hand side, a nice wee cutback, and he flicks it in the back of the net. Telfer, why is Russell McLean on the bench and 40-year-old Derek Lyle is starting instead?
I don't know, because Derek Lyle's miss midway through the first half was criminal. The boy, Josh Mulligan, that was playing at right back for them, who's on loan from Dundee United, there are a couple of times he put in some absolutely phenomenal balls. There's one that he put in for Lyle and one that he put in in the second half. I think it was Nia Payne should have got onto that, but that one that he put in for Lyle really should have scored, because it was right in his head. Lyle was in space and he just headed it straight at him. So I prefer Russell McLean. Russell McLean's an awkward player because he's big, he's gangly, still looks like he's filling out. It looks like he is a really tall boy wearing his dad's clothes. Like it doesn't quite fit, it doesn't quite look right, and there's times when you see him, he's like, this guy's amazing, but there's other times when like the ball just seems to hit off his shins. That finish that he clipped in there for Peterhead was supremely well taken, great little ball across, and just a very instinctive finish to just guide the ball into the net. He's a player I quite like, and I think that he's got a good chance of making him being a really decent part-time player in Scotland.
And Andy, I know that Andy, did you have anything to add on top of that?
No, I was just going to ask more. It was another question for Telfer, actually, in terms of Airdrie, but it was more Telfer, in terms of how Airdrie, where you think they're going to end up being this season, given that they finished second last year ultimately, but they've had a bit of a slow start to the season. They've obviously still won with a bunch of players out, but they seem fairly inconsistent so far. What's your kind of feeling on them? Have you changed your opinions much at all?
I don't know, Andy. That's the thing. I mean, you look at the results at the start of the season, you think a game at home to Montrose, that's a great bellwether at the start of the season to find out whether or not what the team are capable of. And then you lose 3-0 and you think, right, well, are they good, are they bad? You know, you go 2 up at Dumbarton, end up drawing 2 each. Then you go up to Peterhead with a depleted squad. Be very easy to be feeling sorry for yourself. And then turn in, well, ultimately, you know, I don't say they were fortunate to get out. They were perhaps took their foot off the accelerator pedal a wee bit at the end. I don't know, Andy. That's a simple phrase. I don't know. I'm not sure they'll be able to repeat second place this season. I think Falkirk will win that division. Queen's Park will be second. Cove Rangers, you'd fancy them to be up there. But no, I don't know. Come back to me after the first quarter and we'll chat.
And the final question I was going to kind of come on about Peterhead again, to be a little bit ageist, but 34-year-old Ryan Conroy at left back. I know that Peterhead fans aren't too happy about this, and I can kind of understand why.
Yeah, I noticed a very funny comment on Pine Bovril about the fact that Ryan Conroy was brought in as a set-piece specialist, and sort of that's why he's playing at left-back. And it kind of said, well, it's sort of okay that he takes all the free kicks that they all miss, but at least they're fairly close. But why on earth is he coming to take every single corner? And you do get that with some players. I mean, Raith Rovers retweeted or somebody retweeted a video of a Ryan Conroy free kick for us, and they went in, and he was one of few Rovers players I've seen that actually could score from a set piece. But I think, especially as people's, I mean, Ryan Conroy is never the fastest, but I think as people get older and they are maybe even more limited in certain capacities, that they suddenly become known for a thing, and Ryan Conroy's thing now just seems to entirely be taking all the set pieces. Now, it does seem a bit mad for a slow left back to be taking corners from the opposite side, to be honest, as if no one else can swing a ball into the box now and again. So yeah, I did enjoy that, but I think that might be a reliance that's a wee bit misplaced at this stage.
Okay, let's move in to League Two for our final match that we shall be covering. That was Elgin City 1, Forfar Athletic 1. Telfer, what did you make of this one?
I thought it was, I think both teams will be quite content with a point from this one. I think it seemed like a fairly unremarkable match, to be honest. But I think it was a good result in the circumstances. I think that, like, for Elgin, you know, they've had a mixed start so far. You know, they've lost to Cowdenbeath. You know, they've drawn with teams like Stranraer. And I think that for them finding themselves fifth place in the table is good for them. Whereas Forfar Athletic, they have made a good start to the season. You know, I mean, drawing McKelty Hearts last week, perhaps a bit disappointed they weren't able to build in that. You know, I think it sounds a bit trite. It was a game of two halves. I think Forfar were the better side in the first half. Elgin City, you know, they scored after, I think it was 90 seconds after the interval, and scored a good goal. I imagine both these sides will be competing. Certainly, Forfar Athletic will maybe finish best of the rest. Elgin City could look to get the third and fourth place here. That's it. That's my shoot opinion.
Andy, you saw the highlights of this. Any of your kind of main takeaways?
Yeah, Forfar kind of looked quite impressive initially, and then it kind of changed again once Elgin equalised early in the second half. I thought they looked fairly well matched. The thing I find interesting, actually, and I mentioned it on the Elgin website, and I hadn't been aware of it, was about Stephen Mackay coming in as assistant to Gavin Price at Elgin. And I thought that was a kind of fascinating move, and I'm not entirely sure of the background as to why the current assistant's going, but Mackay left the Brora job fairly recently, didn't he? We'd won a couple of titles, and they'd obviously beaten Hearts last season. He's only 40, and I find that as an interesting move, where he apparently left Brora because, well, it was around a poor results, but he cited kind of work commitments and a kind of lack of hunger amongst the players for the reason for those results. But that's one of those ones where I don't know if I was the manager, and maybe Gavin Price is fully comfortable with this situation, but if I was the manager and we had a young, potentially up and coming guy who has been a manager of a successful team till fairly recently coming in as your assistant, you'd be getting a wee bit twitchy about your job. But I don't know if it's the case that Elgin are kind of bringing him in and thinking at some point he'll maybe take over at a time when it suits everyone. But yeah, I don't know if I'll tell for if you've got any more on that, but I found that was an interesting one.
I think you might be reading a wee bit too much into that. It was Keith Gibson was the assistant manager that's left the club. And I'm not 100% sure what the circumstances are there. I think Mackay's time at Brora Rangers, having seen how, like, they were really quite mediocre against Kelty Hearts in the playoff semi-final. And I think that for him, it was just a natural for him to move on. I'm not 100% sure how Elgin train. That's the big thing. I don't know how they train, but, like, Gavin Price is based in Aberfeldy, I'm sure, as he's like a pub landlord or something, or he's certainly responsible in the hospitality industry. I don't know if Elgin do like a hybrid training system where they have, although Keith Gibson was for Dundee, I think. I don't know how it works. So if one's responsible for like one training one group of players, one's responsible for training another group of players, I don't know. But I think getting a guy like Mackay in there who's set good standards, will have good contacts in the Highland League as well from his time at Brora Rangers, I think it's a smart move. move, and I think it'll you won't necessarily miss Keith Gibson. He was a smashing player, by the way, Keith Gibson, back in his day. It's worth saying that. One other player that I wanted to point out, not necessarily for Elgin, but for Forfar Athletic, and that's Matty Aitken. You know, he was at Albion Rovers last season, had played with Forfar previously, had actually played with Elgin previously. He looks like completely rejuvenated after his time at Albion Rovers. I think when he left Forfar to go to the Rovers, I think there was a feeling there that perhaps League One football wasn't quite it for him. He wasn't quite as good as a player his like build suggested, but he was class at Albion Rovers last season, like a proper bully boy striker, really used his body well, and I think we're just seeing him repeat that at Forfar, and he's become a really important player for them.
Yeah, that was a kind of thing going into the game, was that he's been really on fire recently, and so has Kane Hester, and neither of them managed to actually get on the score sheet or really kind of do all that much during the game. The goals were scored, Forfar opened the scoring, Forfar came out and kind of blitzed Elgin early on. Price was given a bit of props by the supporters for making a wee kind of tactical change that kind of allowed them to kind of stop that tide, and then eventually second half they were kind of the better side. But Forfar, the goal, you could say, was maybe a wee bit unlucky. I think there was a wee deflection there for Stephen McCluskey's shot, but it's like the host had allowed them to have like two or three pops at goal from distance, like, and you're talking like 20-25 yards before then, so it's hard to have much sympathy for them in that sense. But came out the second half right away, 2 minutes in, and I mean, it's kind of, it's a chicken and the egg thing. So you wonder whether the goal gave them that huge lift and maybe had Forfar's heads down, and then that was why the second half went the way it was, or was the goal inevitable anyway, because Elgin were just kind of the much better team, and were always going to be the better team in the second half. But it was a nice wee work to go, a great run by O'Keefe, and then a nice cool finish as well.
Phil, one of the things I noticed as well, it was like, this will sound daft, I was playing five-a-sides last night, right? And it's the second time I played five-a-sides in ages, and there was one guy in the opposite team who was like miles better than everyone else. He was really, really skillful. And I remember doing a Pelly podcast with Andy Graham back in 2019, talking about when Alwa played Celtic in the League Cup, and he was marking Moussa Dembele. And I asked him, so what's it like to play against a player who's just faster and quicker and stronger than you? And he basically says, you can't really do that. All you have to do is just try and slow him down and just like get your mates to come back and help you. And that's something that I was thinking about when I was playing fives. You might not be able to get the ball off him, but just stop him. Just stop his movement and stuff. Stop him from getting forward and let folk can come back and you can double up on him. Now, when I watched, to bring this into context, when I was watching these highlights there, when I saw it, I think it was it's Kane Hester that's got the ball and Andy Munro comes out to meet him to stop him. But Stevie Anderson, his centre-back partner, really seems to get flat-footed and caught out by O'Keefe making that run through. And it's a really, really good run. Anderson's flat-footed. O'Keefe gets a shot in. I think he hits it under Mark McCallum to go in and score.
Yes, and
that's a really, really roundabout way.
No, sorry, it was actually kind of, by mentioning Stevie Anderson, you've actually kind of come on to what I was going to say next. Couldn't believe, like, for a League Two game, the amount of people that I was very kind of familiar with in the 4-4 Athletic setup.
That's a good group of players there, man. Good group of players there. A lot to like about this 4-4 team. And I think one of the things that will hold them in good stead is, I know we've criticised their defending there, but just you look at that, the back four, for instance, that's for League Two level, that back four, that's a really solid base. Even Mark McCallum, I know he didn't necessarily have his best season last year, but you look at Ross Meakin at fullback, Luke Strachan, who's on loan from, I think it says, Dundee United, he's on loan from, he's on loan for Dundee at one fullback, and then Andy Munro, Stevie Anderson in the middle. I mean, in terms of like experience, there's a good mix of youth experience there. That is a solid backline, and not many other teams in that division will have a back four as good as that.
And your favourite, Gary Harkins, was on the bench.
Let me tell you a little bit about Gary Harkins, shall I? No, I'm kidding on. I've said all I'm prepared to say about Gary Harkins.
Andy, do you have any finishing points before we wrap this one up?
No. Not in the game. The reference of Aberfeldy that Telford had, that just jogged my memory about the fact that my my honeymoon ended up, we went to Aberfeldy because our proper honeymoon got, there was a tsunami or something, so we couldn't go to the hotel in Mauritius. So we ended up, it was early January, we went up to Aberfeldy. There's places with hot tubs and kind of wee cabins and stuff. And anyway, we got locked out of our room in our hotel, and we were stuck in the hot tub for about 3 or 4 hours, and there was no one else because it was the middle of January. Why was anyone, no one else was up in Aberfeldy, the place, like it's a kind of holiday place, and the bit was shut, had no battery or anything in our phones as well. We had to phone the police to then phone the woman who owned the to own the resort to come down and get us, who was not very happy with it. And we ended up, we had no clothes, obviously. We couldn't get back into the room, so we ended up getting papped into a different suite with no clothes, just a couple of towels. And I just remember being very cold in a towel, trying to get to sleep that night, watching, and it was like Homed Under the Hammer or something on the telly. It was like, what a honeymoon it was. So every time Aberfeldy is mentioned, a wee shiver goes down my spine. That was it. I had nothing on Elgin Forfar.
That was more entertaining, to be fair.
Not at the time, it wasn't.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
4 hours in a hot tub.
We were like frogs at the end of it. It was like the joy of being in a hot tub had very much worn off by that point. And I'd been drinking, so I was just jumping it and having to pee in the bushes all the time. So, yeah.
Did you at least have drinking reserves to make those 4 hours out of
Not a lot, actually. Not as much as you would have hoped for, but yeah, we had like one bottle of something, and then that was about it, I think. So it was a long, and obviously it wasn't the fact we didn't have our phones, we had our phones, but we had no signal because it's the middle of nowhere. Man. So that's why we had to, we finally managed to get through the emergency police line, so which is 999.
That's the special, the ultimate emergency line.
For all the just kids out there who don't know.
Yeah, that special line. That was Aberfeldy for me.
Magnificent, right? I think that'll do us. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Telfer.
Bye, bye, bye.
God, he's turned into NSYNC. Right, and now we're going to go away and record our Patreon. So if you'd like to listen to that, it's patreon.com/terracepodcast. And that's it. Goodbye. And for this weekend, I hope you enjoy your football. Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.